Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once more. Anyway, in this video, I'm discussing the implications of the Battle of Bakhmut, which Russia appears to have won, because Yevgeny Prigozhin announced a couple of days that that Wagner Group, his private military company, has finally taken the city. He's posed there with the Russian flag, surrounded by some of his masked thugs. So this, the first shells landed there over a year ago. But the battle was going on in earnest since August 2022. So it took 9 months to do this. 9 months. Prigozhin himself said in February they would take it by the end of April. Here we are, late May, forgive me. And they appear to have finally done it. The United States estimated a couple of months ago that over 20,000 Russians had been killed. Now, when we say Russians, some of the Wagner Group fighters are actually not Russian. They might be Belarusian, Serbian, Tajik, Kyrgyz, and so on. But those on Russia's side. And by the 25th of May, Prigozhin says he's going to hand the city over to the Russian armed forces because, strictly speaking, he's not in it. And that there was an expletive-laden tirade from him a couple of weeks ago against Gerasimov, the chief general of the Russian army, and indeed, who was the other one? Sergei Shoigu, the defense minister, say that they were cutting him off from ammunition. Now, there might be some truth in this, and why? Incompetence, they just don't produce enough, or they just can't actually move it around, the logistics are messed up, or it could be because they dislike him and they would like to see him fail. It could be sort of inter-services rivalry. He's obviously not officially part of the Russian armed forces. It's a mercenary outfit. They think he's a glory boy. He's never actually been a soldier for a single day. He's always wearing an army uniform. He makes far more money than they do. They thought it was too close to Putin. So they'd like to see him fall flat in his face. So there could be an element of that to it. Whether it's cock or conspiracy, I can't say. But President Zelensky was in Japan as a guest at the G7 summit when it was put to him that Russia had taken Bakhmut, and he said, no, it's not true, not terribly convincingly, that they're fighting on in the suburbs. On the 9th of May this year, as in Russian Victory Day, there was a big artillery bombardment and a Ukrainian counterattack, which stunned everyone and made a small amount of ground. But anyway, sheer weight of numbers has eventually taken its toll. So the Americans apparently advised the Ukrainians months ago to pull out of the city. But the Ukrainians didn't do so. That was worthwhile because they inflicted very high casualties on the Russians. Even Prigozhin said publicly that his side suffered five times more casualties than they inflicted. And the Ukrainians were just stunned at these human wave attacks. It was incredibly wasteful in human life. But Putin is obviously willing to send his men to their deaths in huge numbers to gain a bit of rubble. So human life means nothing to him. These people are expendable, his own nationality. So much for him wanting to save lives by his illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. So Prigozhin started referring to Bakhmut by its Soviet era name. There was another reason why Ukraine was so eager to hang on to this city, despite its lack of strategic significance. Obviously, it was very demoralizing for the Russians not to be able to take this for so long and to suffer very high casualties. Yes, troops got killed. Also, equipment got destroyed, like tanks, artillery, armored personnel carriers, infantry fighting vehicles, what else? Wasted some of the Russian ammunition, and nothing is allowed time for Western arms shipments to arrive, for tens of thousands of Ukrainian troops to be trained abroad, over 20,000 trained in the United Kingdom alone. They've been trained in Spain, in Sweden, Germany, France, other places. Surprising not in the United States, but trainers have come from New Zealand and elsewhere to train them in the UK. Obviously, it's the New Zealand Army was sort of carbon copy of the British Army. Its rank system and doctrine is actually quite similar, so they gel very well. And training is obviously outside Ukraine, so they can't be hit whilst training by a missile strike, drone strike, airstrike, anything like that. And they said that they're back there now and ready for their counteroffensive, more or less. Had it even begun in Bakhmut, people were wondering, where's it going to be? I mean, a lot of people saying it's going to be down towards the Sea of Azov to break the land bridge. But now that Russia's taken Bakhmut, that gives them a lot more forces they can spread to other sectors. That was another reason the Ukrainians were very keen to have the Russians concentrated in one place, because they didn't know where the next attack is going to come. And as the Russians have got numerical advantage, they could attack in several places at once. But actually, the logistics system is probably not up to it. Now, who was it, that American general of the Second World War, saying amateurs talk tactics and professionals talk logistics, is often as mundane as, can you deliver enough munitions fast enough? That's it. It's numbers, rather maneuverability or some ingenious plan or something like that. And so it's just statistics. So we don't know when that's going to come, but it does seem that their offensive capability is exhausted, very high casualties, low on ammunition. Some of their tanks destroyed, particularly the more modern ones, some of their artillery as well. You know, Ukraine's got these new Storm Shadow British missiles, but they don't appear to be using them. Certainly have agreed not to use them in the Russian Federation, only in those areas of Ukraine which are illegally occupied by the Russian Federation, such as parts of Luhansk region, Donetsk region, Zaporizhia region, the Crimean Peninsula, and Kherson region. So everywhere in occupied Ukraine is well within range, but they don't seem to be using very much. And good news for Ukraine, obviously, about the F-16 jets, the Fighting Falcons, those American ones which date, is it to the late 70s? I mean, I don't know anything about aviation technology, that they haven't moved on. But anyway, dozens of air forces have them. Over 6,500 ever been produced. Obviously, some of those are no longer extant or serviceable. But if they got even 1% of all the Fighting Falcons ever produced, that'd be a major boost to their air force, which only has about 300 planes. And so the F-16s mean that Russia will never gain air superiority. They could have gained on day one quite easily. The Russian Air Force outnumbered the Ukrainian Air Force about 10 to 1. If they'd thrown everything they had at the Ukrainians, if the Ukrainians' 300 planes were wiped out and destroyed 300 Russian planes, that'd be worth it for Russia, because the Ukraine would have no air force left. Take down the air defense too. But Russia didn't go big on this one. You've got to go big or go home. So in some ways, it's very risky going ahead with this invasion. They weren't really prepared. They didn't have a numerical advantage at the beginning. On the other hand, they were overly cautious. This is not being willing to risk their air force. And the Ukrainians had Soviet-era planes. Now they're getting Western, you know, more modern generation planes. And then in a few months, once they get those F-16s, even if Russia threw everything they had at the Ukrainians, they wouldn't be able to win. These Ukrainians are fast. The Ukrainians are going to have these planes, F-16s, which are faster, more maneuverable, apparently just do things faster, have a longer range and everything, so that they can outclass the Russian jets in just about every way. The SUs and the MiGs. The MiGs, I'm saying, they're not even that good. It's just because Mikoyan, the aeronautical engineer who designed them, was the brother of Anastas Mikoyan, who was sometime the Soviet head of state, an Armenian. So he was over-promoted. They say, satisfactory planes, not brilliant planes, even for the era. So that's why Ukraine will be getting the edge. It's obviously a big morale boost to them to know that they're getting these F-16s. How long is it going to take to train people on these? Well, it's going to be several months anyway. Thank you so much for watching my video. Goodbye.